and welcome to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. Mindy Ute is a psychotherapist in New York whose specialty is conflict resolution in relationships. In fact, on her website, it states, Mindy Ute, Calming Life's Conflicts. Mindy recently wrote a very provocative article on marriage and relationships that's sort of turning the notion of what makes a successful relationship upside down. And recently, Mindy wrote an article in the Huffington Post titled No Conflict, No Passion. And she gave a talk on this very topic at the 92nd Street Y in New York City recently. Hey, Mindy, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Valerie. Nice to be with you.
It's always great to have you on the show because you shed light on relationships, which is probably the number one issue for most everybody. First of all, tell me why you wrote this article, No Conflict, No Passion.
After sitting with so many couples over so many years, I have heard a similar refrain from certain couples who will turn to me and say, but Mindy, we never fight, because their idea of a problematic marriage is people who are constantly fighting, blaming, angry, hostile, contemptuous. They don't realize that sometimes a marriage that's too quiet, that's too peaceful, that has fallen into a routine can be just as problematic as a marriage between people who are constantly fighting.
And so with that idea, you actually gave an extensive talk on this very topic at the 92nd Street Y, which is a tremendously great cultural institution in New York City. And people were there. I'd love to know the reaction of the audience when you said, you know, in your words, you know, being basically tied at the hip forever is not what makes a healthy marriage.
There were some very interesting responses, Valerie. I had one couple who had been married 60 years, an older couple. And the idea to them that people should argue and that people should be thinking about their own needs was foreign to them. They could not understand how a marriage where people weren't thinking totally about the other person, or at least predominantly about the other person, could be a healthy marriage. And the idea of a marriage that encouraged conflict, that saw the benefit of an argument, of airing your dirty laundry, so to speak, to your partner, was so foreign to them that I think they were a little taken aback. Very interesting. There was another couple there that actually found it fascinating because she was saying that my husband never plans anything. He doesn't make plans for dinner. He doesn't make plans for vacations. And it has been bothering me forever. And I said to her, well, did you ever tell him how it makes you feel that he doesn't do this? And she said, well, I buy him date books and I tell him and I complain to him. I said, but wait. Does he know what it means to you that he doesn't take the initiative to make plans? And she took a step back and she said, I feel disrespected. And it was like her husband's eyes lit up. He didn't realize how important it was to her and how much it had hurt her. And you could feel the dynamic change. So that was a wonderful moment.
Well, that's what's great about working with you, Mindy, because you get to the heart of the matter. Oftentimes what we think is the issue is certainly not the issue. There's something behind it and it's buried, you know, deep inside, and you're able to sort of suss out what the real issue is. But when you're talking about needing conflict and living separate lives together, that, again, is something that does seem foreign to most couples, because we are taught, we are socialized to believe that a happy couple has likes together, they do things together, they have the same interests together, and your notion is not necessarily so. So how do we go down that path of being independent and living our own path, but having a very committed and amorous relationship?
When we get married, we enter married life with the idea of the one and only, my soulmate, my BFF, my everything, right? That's sort of the romantic notion of a wedding, of a marriage. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that two people right, are coming together who have individual needs and likes and temperaments. They may have certain, pardon me, things they do together. And certainly it's a good marriage to have similar values and similar outlooks on life. But generally, I could come from the Northeast. You could come from the South. I could be somewhat introverted. You could be outgoing and gregarious. I mean, we're very different people. And when we come together and there's the expectation that those, we should blend, right? We should blend ourselves into something called married life. First of all, is unrealistic. And second of all, it actually denies the couple intimacy, because intimacy is based on my recognizing what's unique in you. And if you're a blended version of me, because you don't want to separate, because you think it might threaten our marriage, I never really get to see you for all that you are. And people are generally wired that way. When somebody sees us for all of our truths, our weaknesses, our strengths, what makes us us, there's a tremendous sense of self-worth, there's confidence, and there's a feeling of love and intimacy that comes with that. And so to go too quickly to this idea of let's compromise and let's find the happy medium actually might create predictability and routine in the marriage, but it denies that couple a chance to grow individually into the best people they can be and to get to know each other on a really deeper level for who they truly are.
We are attracted to something that is unique and specialized, right? So let's talk about some really good relationship tips. If you're getting serious with a person, you'd like to move forward and bring this to the next level, what should we be thinking about in making this a healthy and good relationship?
In the very beginning, a relationship is certainly fueled by love and attraction and intense need for each other. So that's sort of the mindset when people first meet each other and they fall in love and they think about whether they might take the relationship to the next level. But what's most important if you're considering getting married is to be aware of what happens when you disagree. What happens to the relationship and to each of you individually when you come up against some differences? How does that go? Do people attack each other because they feel insecure and threatened? Do they withdraw from each other because they feel overwhelmed by the emotions in the room? Do you feel respected? Do you expect when you open up to your partner that you're going to be with somebody who at the very least is interested in understanding how you feel? If you get shut down or dismissed or end up feeling ashamed because you expose the vulnerability, then that's a warning sign. So how we manage conflict is a better predictor of the health of the marriage than all the lovely candlelit dinners that we share.
Very, very important. Because if you ever watch all of these programs on television about somebody who turned on you and they say, I didn't see it coming, I'm sure there was a clue somewhere along the line that they just did not pay attention to. Does that seem fair?
I think that seems fair that you missed the clue, or you were never courageous enough to test the waters, right? So you sat on all of those feelings for a while. And then later on, if they become overwhelming or life circumstances make it so that you can no longer deny them, then you go, oh, I didn't realize that we hit a bump in the road. This is what it would look like. Mm-hmm. So even little moments of saying, you know, there's some people who say, do you want Chinese or Thai for dinner? And they go, whatever you want, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever you want. Well, you know, even test, I'd like Chinese tonight. Just the idea of expressing your need confidently and fully and see what happens.
Anything around food, I'm happy to test. So Minda Yute, coming up very shortly at 92Y New York City, Do Prenups Ruin Romance? That's your next talk.
I am going to be talking with a collaborative matrimonial lawyer and divorce mediator who works with couples in all stages of the relationship over areas of conflict. So whether it's a premarital agreement or a divorce agreement or a postnuptial agreement, and she works in a way that collaborates so that people don't see each other as adversaries, but as partners in a collaborative process to resolve conflicts in the relationship. And this will be about the, you know, very popular and more commonly decision that most couples make to enter in a premarital agreement. So it can be done very nicely, and it actually can give couples an opportunity to learn how to disagree because they are negotiating some important issues of money and property. How does that go? Do they speak openly and kindly to each other, or do you get kind of an air of hostility? Mm-hmm. It can be a warning sign. And so we're going to try to help couples see how to do this in the most loving way so that you can put that process behind and not have it affect your relationship and actually maybe even see it as a benefit.
Well, for that talk and much more, go to MindyUtay.com. Mindy, thanks for joining us on America Weekend.
Thank you, Valerie. Nice being here.
I'm Valerie Smaldone on the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Are you a fast healer? Are you one of those people out there who never gets sick? And if you do, you get over it really fast. Well, here's their story and the science of it. These people are called self-healers, and they have personality traits that may just keep them healthy. First off, these people feel as if they're in control even when they're sick.
I am invincible!
Next, they see life as a challenge. People who find themselves sick often usually see life as a threat more than a challenge. Finally, self-healers are hard workers. They're the worker bees of the population.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
What's the cheap psychological trick? What makes a self-healer tick? They have a purpose in life, and they work to prove it. They have an attitude, and they take control. And this attitude goes a long way toward good health. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Susan was driving down a country road when she turned a corner and saw a cow standing in the road. She swerved to avoid it and hit a tree. Now Susan is suing the cow's owner for her injuries and damaged car. Who do you think won this strange case? The final verdict after this.
If you're adding precious metals to your portfolio, then call Augusta Precious Metals, a leader in gold and silver sales for over 40 years. Call Augusta now at 855-858-5805. 855-858-5805.
The owner of the cow is only liable if he knew the animal was likely to get out and failed to prevent it. In this case, the cow had escaped through a hole in the fence the owner had been meaning to fix, so he's liable. But if he could prove that the hole in the fence was brand new, then he would not have been liable. And that's the final verdict.